If you like to follow along, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, I want to read from verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Charles Spurgeon wrote this, and I really like this. God's children are God's children. That's pretty good. Anywhere and everywhere. And shall be even unto the end. Nothing can sever that sacred tie or divide us from his heart. I like that saying. I do. God's children are God's children, anywhere and everywhere. Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, and as Walter preached so ably last week, Paul has a message. Paul has a message, and it's a message for every believer. Now, it's written here to the church at Corinth, the church of God at Corinth. But it's also addressed, what? This is verse 1. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That's verse 2, sorry. This is a message for every believer. This is a message for every believer. These are the words of the apostle to the Gentiles, and we are Gentiles, but it's just as good for the Jew if they believe Christ. Doesn't matter. This is the word of God for believers. I'm going to look at verse 7. My title, though, for this message is Confirmation in Christ. Confirmation in Christ. But starting in verse 7, it says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message for every believer. Paul's writing this stuff so you know what's going on. And it's important for us to know what's going on. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Oh my. It says Jesus Christ has given the grace of God to every one of his people. It's in verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you. And he does say it this way, by Jesus Christ. Oh, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no man cometh to God but by me. And you know what he meant by that? No man comes to God but by Jesus Christ. That's the deeper meaning. And that's the truth of it. It is by Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who want to use Jesus Christ or go through Jesus Christ. But no, no, no. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Oh my. And God's people are the recipients of his gifts. And his blessings are his gifts unto us. And we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but wait, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, looking at the next one, next part of this verse. We need the gift of patience. Because patience is not natural to man. What does it say? That you come behind in no gift waiting. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, folks. People are not good at waiting. And I'm going to tell you this. The people of God, believers, are not good at waiting. What's that old saying? Instant gratification takes too long. That's the society we live in now. Everybody wants it now. No. God has his own timetable. And I'm as bad about it as anybody else, I'll tell you. I'll confess. I shouldn't be, but sometimes I am. But this is one thing I have to wait upon the Lord. He's working. He's working. You may not see it. You may not know it. You may not understand it. But he's working. And he has his, when his hour is come, he is coming. And I like that. I do. We not wait. We wait, but we're not good at it. But we thank God for his gifts. Now, I understand tribulation worketh patience. And I don't like tribulation. But tribulation does work patience, experience, and hope. And in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But here's the thing, folks. I also know the God of patience. This is in Romans 15 and verse 5. Now, the God of patience, and here it is, and consolation. Grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Thank God we have a God of patience. The God of patience grants, gives to believers to be like-minded. Why? So we can get along with each other. That's important. The gathering of the people of God should be in one accord. Sometimes it's not. But it should be in one accord. And we have the God of patience and consolation. Oh, I like that part. Thank the God of patience for the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And I'm going to tell you this. That word long-suffering right there, that's the word patience. Patience. It's not natural to man, but it is the gift of God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. How can we wait? From the gift of patience, from the God of patience and consolation to our hearts. But we're waiting, wait a minute, in earnest expectation of the coming of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're waiting for. Oh, my. But what's it say next? This is verse 8. It's where I wanted to get. Because of the God of patience, because of the God of consolation, and because of waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? It says, who also shall also confirm you unto the end. Unto the end. Folks, that's where I need to be confirmed unto. Oh, but first, let's make this point. True confirmation does not come from man. Now, y'all know my history. I was born and raised Catholic, okay? So at the age of 12, I think it was, or 14, whatever, I was confirmed by the Catholic Church. They didn't know what they was doing. That's okay. I didn't know either. But what happens is you have to take a little class and you have to answer. I don't know if I had a test or not, but I got to ask questions, I'm sure. Then the bishop shows up, not your priest. The bishop shows up. He's the boss of the priest. And he comes by and he confirms. You have a confirmation class. And he comes by and confirms these people. And what he does is he shakes your hand. He's supposed to slap you in the face. I don't know why. And you are confirmed into the Catholic Church. That was worth absolutely every dollar I paid, which was nothing. Okay? I paid nothing for that, and I'm going to tell you this, folks, I received absolutely nothing from it. But I'm going to tell you something, true confirmation doesn't come from a man. This is what we're talking about. True confirmation doesn't come from a man. Matter of fact, well, I'm not going to mention that. The word confirmed, and I looked it up in the Greek, it means this, establish. Establish. What? Wait a minute. Or, to make firm. You understand? I have to be made firm. You have to be made firm. You have to be established, not by me. Not by any other man, by God, by Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, being confirmed by a man, bishop of otherwise, is of absolutely no value. Because listen, there's nothing firm in man. We are the definition of infirm. But the God of patience and the God of consolation, the God, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. I'm going to tell you something, folks. He can confirm you. His confirmation is what counts. Oh, my. A lot of people, though, now let's be clear about this. A lot of people confuse being established and being firm with being stubborn. Stubborn is a natural condition of man. But I'm going to tell you something. When he makes you firm, when he confirms you, when he establishes you, he's establishing you in his word, in himself. Now, being firm, being established in God. I like the way Paul put it. Being grounded and settled. Grounded and settled. That's not being stubborn. That's being firm. That's being established. What does it tell you? It tells you that the who that confirms is not you. You're the who that is confirmed. We need to be established. We don't establish. Oh. I looked at some commentators, just a couple about this. And I'm about to the point, sometimes I agree with Walter, where it does you better not to look. But there seemed to be some discussion of whether it is Christ that establishes you or whether it's God the Father that establishes you. And I don't understand the point of that. Because these three are one. Or answer, my favorite answer is yes. God establishes you, Christ establishes you, and the Holy Spirit establishes you. These three are one. Oh, my. But in Verse 4, Paul states, the grace of God given you by Christ Jesus. Oh my. God makes you firm. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit make you firm. They establish you. Oh my. Paul put it this way in Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What? The gospel of your salvation. I like that. Here. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, there's fellows that went around, and a fellow I respect, his name is Martin Lloyd-Jones. His commentary and his preaching on the epistle, the whole epistle of Ephesians is great. He gets to this place and he stumbles. And I don't know why, and I don't really care why, but he's wrong. If he was still alive, I'd tell him to his face. Because you understand, he went through the whole first 12 verses of Ephesians and went in and told you, this is what God says in his word, and this is what it means. It means what it says, and it says what it means. And then he gets up to this verse, and he says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. And he says, I understand Paul wrote that all you needed there, or that was after you believed. But then he wanted to go on to say that there was something else before you were sealed. And I looked at it, and it says this, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed. And what am I saying here? You were confirmed. You were established by God. You are made to be firm by God after ye believe. After ye believe. What? And you believe by Christ. By Christ. What? Believers are sealed by Christ, confirmed, made firm, and established by God. 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 21 and 22 says this, now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us and hath anointed us, is God. Is God. Who also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I'm going to tell you something, folks. After you believe, you've been established and you've been sealed. You've been confirmed by God. And it's not of your works. It's of His. It's not because I believed. No, no. I believe because of Him. And He establishes me. Understand, folks, no matter what you preach, and no matter where you preach, no matter where you are, faith, you're saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's still the gift of God. And I want to throw that in there just for the people out there that haven't heard that before. That's that old Baptist doctrine. Yes, it is. But it's still here. You're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. And that actually means it's not of you. It's a gift. Why? For we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It says that. You know why? Because it means that. But He establishes His people. He confirms His people. Established and sealed. Sealed by God and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it says that after you believe. After you believe. By grace through faith, believers are confirmed and sealed in Christ Jesus. But let's not forget this last little part. Unto the end. Unto the end. You understand? I realize why people think they can lose their salvation. Because they think it's their salvation. That's what it is. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can't lose God's salvation. You can't lose Christ's salvation. Because the only reason you got it is because he gave it to you. And what? He confirms you unto the end. Unto the end. Oh, my. Oh, I like that. Matthew 10:22, put it this way, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And ain't that true? Yes, it's true. How can a believer endure? Well, you can't unless God confirms you to the end. And he does. Every one of his people. Well, I can't go anywhere without reading this. Where is it? John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's the end. That's the end. Every believer has been confirmed by God unto. Oh, I like that. I do. This is my Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You are confirmed by God unto the end. You are established. You understand? In Psalms, I think it's David. I'm pretty sure it's David. But even if it's not, it's still in Psalms. He digs you out of the pit. The deep miry clay. But not only that, he sets your feet on a rock. And not only that, there's more. He establishes your goings. Why? Because he establishes you. He confirms you unto the end. You understand? He puts your feet on the rock. They're never coming off that rock. You know why? Because God puts you on that rock. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. I do like that part. Oh, my. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit keeps you by faith. We are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. Unto the end. Salvation ready to be revealed. Oh, my. I like that. I'm looking forward to that day. You understand? And we're waiting. That's what he's talking about. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Why? But it says that ye may be, and that's in italics there in that verse, so you can leave that out. And I like this. What does he say? Who also shall confirm you unto the end? Blameless. Blameless. Oh my. Didn't say sinless, but blameless. Blameless. I like that. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's not going to be one person be able to point at you and say, well, you did this. You did that. You sinned. Me too. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You sin. I sin. But you've been established, confirmed by God. Oh, my. Unto the end. Unto the end. Oh, my. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? I'm going to tell you something. If God confirms you unto the end, that means God's for you. That's what it means. God's for you. Oh, my. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Oh, that's them gifts Paul was writing about. Oh, I like that. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He's blameless. He's blameless. He's blameless in God's sight. You may see me do a lot of things I shouldn't do. I'm going to try and hide them, but you probably will see some of it. But in God's sight, we're blameless. We're blameless. Why? He's confirmed us unto the end. He's established us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Here's the reason why. It got nothing to do with me, nothing to do with you. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Tell you what, it doesn't matter. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, here we go, folks, what? Who's going to lay anything to my charge? Who's going to be that condemneth? Who also maketh intercession for us. Christ died, yes, and he rose, yes, and he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he ever lives to make intercession. He's our advocate. He's our advocate. He's our sacrifice. Our offering. He's our substitute. He's our Savior. He's the giver of faith, the giver of life. He's the keeper of us in his heart. And yet he makes intercession for us. And that's why, folks, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin, because Christ makes intercession for him. Oh, my. Oh, who's going to separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? No one. No one. Oh, my. How is this possible? Both God and Christ have declared his people, believers, to be righteous in his Son. Driving up here today, I was listening to Henry preach on Job. Oh, I like that. Deliver him. Deliver him from going down into the pit. Why? We belong in the pit. That's where we belong. That's where we deserve to be. But he says, deliver him. But he tells us why. I have found a ransom. I'm going to tell you, he found the ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and made himself come down in the form of a servant. Took on the likeness of sinful flesh. And died for his people, was buried and rose again from the dead, and now he's seated at the right hand. He ascended, and he's ever living to make intercession for us, for his people, the ones the Father gave to him before the foundation of the world, the ones the Father chose in him before the foundation of the world. And you know what he's doing? He's confirming us unto the end, unto the end. And we're waiting for him to come. Oh, I like that. We have righteousness imparted and righteousness imputed, and it's the very same righteousness. He's clothed us in the garments of salvation, but he's robed us, what? With a robe of righteousness. His robe. His robe. I like that. You ever stop to think about the prodigal son when he came back. He just came back from the pigsties and the hog pen. And the father says, give that boy a bath. He smells. No, he said, bring forth the best robe. And he didn't say only that. Put it on him. Put it on him. Because my son that was dead is now alive. That's what Christ has done for each and every one of us. Oh yeah, we stumble, we fall, we sin. I'm going to use a bad word. We stink. We smell. But he gives us his robe. You know, he's confirmed us. He confirms his people unto the end. Unto the end. What is it? God's people are God's people anywhere and everywhere. Oh, God, I need that. I need that. Oh, my, I need that. Oh, both God and Christ have declared his people to be righteous in Christ Jesus. And have been given the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're blameless in Christ. Not in yourself, but we're blameless in Christ. And we're going to be blameless in Christ unto the end. So what's the conclusion of this? Look at verse 9. It ain't you. Sorry, folks. If you want that ego pumped up, you come to the wrong place. You're listening to the wrong TV show. God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation, confirmation, unto the end, is of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Because it is. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation always has been of the Lord. Salvation always will be of the Lord. And salvation is of the Lord right now. Why? God's faithful. Not you. It's not me. God's faithful. God's faithful. Any faithfulness on the part of the believer is because God is faithful. He works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, it's kind of a shame you can't even take credit for your own work. I don't want credit for my work.
No.
Okay. I could take credit for that, but I don't want it. I want that not imputing my sin unto me. Oh, it's God that's faithful. By whom you were called. Where does salvation start with the believer? Well, it starts with God. He's faithful by whom you were called. Oh, my. It doesn't say by whom you answered, even though you do. No, that's not the important part. Because if God calls you, you're going to answer. If God gives it to you, you're going to have it. I used to use an example of me giving Christmas presents. I used to drive Debbie up a wall. I'd say, there's a buyer Christmas present. Put it under a tree. Oh, what would you think if I was to open that up? I said, well, it's yours. I put it under the tree. I told her, it's hers. It's yours. Do what you want with it. Well, God says, I'm going to give you life. You're going to have life whether you want it or not. I am found of those that sought me not. Now that is a gracious statement. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the thing that the First Baptist Church down the road is probably not preaching right now. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest, made known to those who weren't even asking about me. Weird. No. Grace. To the world it's weird. To the world it's perverse. To the world it's nonsense. To some, they think that's heresy. That's antinomianism. No, it's grace. It's grace. Oh my. It's the sovereign Christ who saves. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. Christ saves, Christ seals, Christ confirms, and Christ establishes, and Christ will keep you unto the end. He's our substitute, our advocate, and our elder brother. Oh my. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And His intercession is just as effectual as His sacrifice. Oh my. John Newton wrote this. I began to understand the security of the covenant of grace and to expect to be preserved, not by my own power and holiness, but by the mighty power and promise of God through faith in an unchangeable Savior. I like that. That's the kind of Savior we need, folks. Unchangeable. Good thing He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? Because if He could change, He wouldn't be for us anymore. But if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm going to tell you something. If you know Christ, you have an unchangeable Savior. Unchangeable. We change. Thank God sometimes we change. Lord, help me. I don't want to be as dumb as I was at 21. Nothing personal for anybody out there listening that's 21. You just don't know yet. But you call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And the God of patience and consolation shall confirm you unto the end. Blameless. In His sight. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this day. Lord, You are so good to us. We don't deserve anything. We deserve condemnation. We deserve hellfire. We deserve the lake of fire. Thank God You have delivered us into the kingdom of Your dear Son. Translated us from the kingdom of darkness, where we lived and moved, into the kingdom of Your dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of love. Thank You, Lord, for calling us and confirming us and establishing us. Be with Walter as he comes to preach. Be with Paul as he comes up here to hold forth. Be with all Your men wherever they are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.